You're listening to Talking Heads. Thanks for tuning in to our little programme this afternoon. This hour, we're speaking to another of the candidates in September's general election. We're joined in the studio now by June Kelly, who's standing in Onchan. It says Peel on my script, but it's not. It's Onchan. That threw me. Good afternoon, June, and welcome to Talking Heads.
Good afternoon, Stu.
I have to say, when we just met a few minutes ago, you said, are you not bored yet with meeting all those candidates? And I'm really not, because I'm of the opinion that, you know, far too many of us moan about politics in the Isle of Man. And I think that the bravest thing that anybody can do is to stick their head above the parapet and actually stand for election to Keys. I think you're doing a great thing. Do you think that now that you're well into your campaign?
I still believe, you know, it is the right thing to do. I still believe that it's a huge learning curve. I believe going round the doors gives me an opportunity to speak to people and to get their opinions on what concerns them, because it's not about me. Yeah. I've put my head above parapet, but it's for me to be there as a person for the people of Onchan.
To represent the people of Onchan.
To represent the people of Onchan.
And, I mean, public service isn't new to you, because you're currently chairman of Onchan Commissioners, I think, aren't you?
I am,
will have taken over from Brian, was it?
From Brian, yes.
Good stuff. And so you're used to that. And you're also part of the health profession, so you're not unused to going and knocking on people's doors, I don't suppose.
No, I have just completed 30 years of service in the health service. I started as a nursery nurse back in goodness knows when, and have had a career pathway in nursing. For the last 8 years, I have enjoyed being a health visitor.
Yeah.
I got my degree 8 years ago, so you might think I'm a slow learner, but I get there in the end. And yes, door knocking is part of my day-to-day business. So knocking on the door isn't as difficult as some candidates might find it, and I actually enjoy talking to people. Being a Salvationist and having Christian principles gives me that nurture to care.
Yeah.
So I want to do what's best for the people of Onchan.
Well, you don't necessarily have to be a Christian to care about people, do you?
You don't, but I think, you know, I have been, you know, a Salvationist since I was, you know, little and was taken to Sunday school, and I think being part of the Christian society, especially the Citadel, where we do a lot of caring and a lot of charity work and a lot of not just the Christian aspect, but the caring in the community.
Will your faith inform your politics if you're elected?
I think my faith will have an impact on my own morals and my own values and my own beliefs when I'm decision-making in the Keys.
Because some people aren't terribly keen on that. Yeah. I mean, we're less and less a Christian community nowadays. And some people are a little bit nervous about politicians who have faith, you know, and good for you for having that faith, in that, you know, it might not always produce the best results. What do you think about that?
I think, you know, as long as they are my opinions, but I'm doing what's best for the people of Onchan,
yes,
then it's what is best for everybody. You know, I'm not, people would say I'm not an assertive, angry person. I'm a very gentle, caring person.
Yeah.
And I think that will help me within my campaign.
Yes. That's all very well, isn't it, being a gentle person, and you're obviously a nurturing and a caring person. But does that prepare you well for the cut and thrust of politics, do you think?
I think the 4 years of being an Onchan boardroom has really helped me learn how to be a politician.
Yeah.
It's a very male-dominated environment. At the moment, there's 6 males and myself. I have been lead member for housing and lead member for open spaces. I did that for 2 years. I was vice chair 2 years ago, and I have just accepted the chairmanship. As a politician in a very male environment, I have to know my stuff, I have to be assertive, and I have to get my point clearly across.
And do the boys all do as they're told now?
I wouldn't say they would do as they're told. I think they realise that I actually have a voice and I'm prepared to stand my ground.
Why are you standing? Are you dissatisfied with the government that we've got at the moment, or is it just a natural progression from local politics to national politics?
I think the government, you know, have done a good enough job. There are always areas of improvement. And I just think with 30 years of health behind me, they need somebody in the arena who has a health knowledge. We have lots of financial background, we have lots of people in accountancy, we have lots of businessmen, but actually I'm not aware, apart from one social worker who is in at the moment, that we have anybody from health.
Well, we've got a chemist in there as the speaker.
We have a chemist, but a chemist, you know, isn't really the person who, yes, they deal with health, but they deal in a different environment to health. And I just feel we need somebody in the arena who has the experience of health and understands the people's needs and health.
And it's one of the big concerns that people have, I'm sure, isn't it? The health service and the future of it, given that we've all got fairly tough times ahead, we keep being told.
And when we have a growing population, we have an ageing population, we have more births than ever this year, and I just think we have to focus and we have to prioritise the needs of our health service above the needs of anything else that's relevant to the
Can we afford to do that, though?
I think we need to do it. I think, you know, we have a responsibility to ensure that people have the appropriate care that they need, whether that's in hospital or whether that's out in the community.
And you think it's more important than, say, education or housing? Or
I would say if people's health is seen to and people's health needs are addressed, that impacts on the education. I mean, health and education, I believe, go hand in hand. I feel we do have good education on the Isle of Man, but we have to meet the education needs of all children's ability and not just focus on pushing people to 2 degrees.
Yeah, square pegs in round holes kind of thing. Well, how would you describe your politics in the traditional sense? Are you a left-wing person, right-wing person, down the middle?
I think I'm a very down-the-middle person. I've not really got any desires or any sort of passion about one side. I think I try and keep a very open mind on everything that comes.
And on that basis, then, are you standing as a complete independent or are you allied to people like the Liberals?
I am complete independent, I feel if I'm going, I'm standing on my own feet and then I can only be blamed for my own decisions and not under the umbrella of somebody else's.
When did you start campaigning?
I've been out on the streets of Onken, probably believe you've seen me, since May.
Right.
I believe that for people to believe in me that I want their votes and would like them to vote is that I have to go out and knock on as many doors and meet as many people as possible. So for every waking hour that I'm not in work or I'm not in the boardroom, then I am out knocking on doors. We have put 3,500 flyers already around Onken in May and I've done probably a half of door knocking of Onken.
Give me a feel for what people are saying to you on the doorstep.
People's concerns are health. Their concerns or their health needs, their concerns are the waiting initiatives. People are having to wait longer for hospital appointments and that impacts on their health and they're becoming well again. A main concern is the bus routes in Onken. Whether it's the top of Onken, whether it's the bottom of Onken, people are very unhappy that there aren't enough buses. My concern is we really do need to look at the bus routes. I understand, you know, that it costs money, but my concern is that if we don't provide a reasonable bus service for the more elder people of Onken, then we are going to prevent them getting out. They're going to be isolated, and perhaps we then have to put in more government services to provide shopping and needs that they get.
Are you concerned that you might be seen as a bit of a one-trick pony in terms of the fact that you are looking at the welfare of people, particularly the health and the welfare of people? Isn't that a bit of a narrow focus, do you not think, for a national politician?
I think politicians may think it's a very narrow focus, but I believe that is where my strengths are. Yes, we have financial difficulties. Everybody only needs to pick up a newspaper to realise the VAT problems, to realise our economy isn't as good as it has been or could be. And I'm prepared to go in there and learn the skills of and the knowledge of finance. In Onken, I've been a commissioner for 4 years. we, I feel, do very well in Onc, and we really look after the budget. What we have to remember is it's not our money, yeah, it's taxpayers' money, and I feel we have to be very aware of how we spend it and what we spend it on.
The more MHKs that understand that, the better, probably, come September. What sort of so people have been talking to you about things like the buses, they've been talking about health issues. Mm-hmm. What are the biggest challenges that we face, do you think, for the duration of the next Parliament?
I think the first thing is we have to look at finance. We have to look at what we've got, because obviously we've got another 2 years of VAT coming out, finance coming out, and we have to look at what capital projects we need and what capital projects can be shelved. We have to learn to prioritise. As you and I in our home, we have to prioritise where our bills go and what we pay. Then I feel the government have to be responsible and do the same.
Well, I've just given up smoking because I was getting skint every month. You know, where can the government save that kind of money?
I think the government has to really look at all aspects of spending. You know, every department has to look. And I don't feel it needs to come from the workforce. I think we need to look higher up the scale to see what cutbacks we
can have. Senior civil servants, you think?
I'm not saying senior civil servants. I'm looking more at the overall picture of what is there. I mean, the previous government, the Chief Minister, he changed all the departments and reshuffled everybody around. I know people say that didn't cost much, but it would have had a cost to it.
Yes.
And was it the right time to do it, and has it been a positive?
Some people would say that that was exactly the right time to do it. You know, the Isle of Man is facing some real challenges, and you need to kind of get your team in place, don't you, and your departments in place to be able to tackle that. Do you agree with that, or do you think that it might have been the wrong time?
I think, Mr. Brown idea and his ministers had, they obviously felt it was the right time. You know, the job is done now, and we have to look at what's done, and we have to move on, and we have to focus on, you know, these departments still all working together, because if departments don't work together, then we might as well give up now, because it's all about communication, it's all about working together, and maybe it's all about sharing members of staff and people joining jobs up together.
Election 2011 coverage on Manx Radio, brought to you by PDMS.
This is Talking Heads, and our election candidate today is June Kelly from Onchan. So, by saying that, do you think that maybe government isn't as joined up as they say that they are?
Yeah, I truly believe then they could do better. I believe they could join up more.
Do you think that people are making their own fiefdoms almost? Do you think that different departments are laying out their own turf and not letting people tread on it?
Well, I think you know, they do allow people in, but, you know, maybe it's not at the level that it should be at. I mean, I know in Onchan that there is lots of joined up working. I know when people are wanting to come and do stuff that we try to get schemes and everything working together. But, you know, it's not being complacent with what we've got. It's improving what we've got, working on where we are and improving the relationships, and maybe understanding how difficult it is in different departments, rather than we're very good at saying, oh, they don't do it as good as we do.
Yeah.
But actually, let's work alongside them. Let's try and understand other people's roles, and let's see if we can support each other with these roles.
One of the things that age has brought me is the ability to recognise that things that seem really easy to solve from the outside, once you get inside an organisation, often aren't that easy to solve. Do you think that that might be something that you will come across if you're elected?
I think that's probably one of my main concerns, is I'm an independent, I'm a single person, as in I'm not going under anybody else's umbrella, and it is very difficult to make changes as a single person in an arena of 24 people. However, I'm prepared to challenge, and I'm prepared to ask questions, and I think asking the right questions at the right time will only be good for me to learn what the future holds.
If you are elected in September, what would you see your initial role being? Would you want to be a backbencher and just learn the ropes, or would you hope for some sort of a departmental position?
No, I'm not looking for grandeur. I'm looking of being somebody who goes in there. It's going to be a huge learning curve. I believe there are lots of things that haven't come out in the open that will be thrown at us once elected, and I think I'm just ready to run with what's there. I'm ready to absorb the learning process in a very quick time, because I don't think there will be a settling in period.
Yes.
I think you will be in there and you will be running on your knees to try and keep up with what has happened and what is being prepared for the future.
To face the next 5 years and to succeed over the next 5 years, the government has got to either save money or it's got to make money, and probably a combination of the two. Where can you see areas that we could maybe make some more money in the Isle of Man?
I mean, I personally think, you know, we our financial situation, our financial services are good. However, we need to improve on them. We also have a beautiful island. Tourism is very, very slim.
Yeah.
You know, people perhaps come over, you know, to see family or friends, or they come over for something specific. I think we've got lots of avenues where we could explore, where we could do weekend breaks. You know, for instance, we've got, I don't know how many golf courses, but we don't actually do a package of golf weekends. You know, we don't do a packet of, you know, exploring, walking, things like that. I know we have
do some
more.
Of those things,
we do
don't
a few
we?
Little things, but I think we need to encourage more people over. But I think we also need to look at, you know, the bigger picture. You know, if it's dry in the Isle of Man, it's beautiful. You can do lots of nice activities. If it's wet, we actually don't have a facility where you can go with the family and just enjoy an afternoon watching the rain from the inside, but actually with your children being entertained.
But surely that's a bit of a wish list, isn't it? That's never going to happen, certainly not over the next 5 years.
Well, whether it's a wish list or not, I think, you know, not just for our holidaymakers, but for our youth of the Isle of Man and for the families that we have on the Isle of Man, we need to look for some sort of inside entertainment, because it is very short and it is very small.
Whenever we talk about tourism in the Isle of Man, we get a variety of views. Some people, many people, feel that the glory days of tourism are well and truly over and that we shouldn't try and cling to tourism as such. Other people say, no, there is a future for us in tourism. Yeah. The problem that we've got is the cost of getting here.
Yeah.
What's the answer to that?
I think, you know, the cost of getting here, the cost of us going away is huge. We all know we try to book in advance so that we try and get some saving on our fares, but that's not always possible to do. You know, maybe we need, you know, to look at sort of doing packages where you've got your travel, your accommodation and some activity altogether.
Yeah, and try and amortise the cost of the in there. Okay, what would you say are the main planks of your election campaign?
I think the main planks of my campaign has to be health. It has to be education. We have to look at the bus service, because everybody in, or a lot of people in Uncan, are dissatisfied with the bus. We have to look at ways of improving what we've already got and building on it. We have to look at the needs of our education. I feel we have to start looking at jobs for our children who do achieve their ability in education and look for jobs, making jobs available for them. We have lots of students going away, getting degrees, and there's no opportunity for them to come back.
Hasn't that always been the case, though, with a small island, that there are always going to be a limit to the number of opportunities here?
There is, but there's no actual pathway in place which says we've got so many students going away to be doctors, we've got no many students doing pharmacists, da-di-da-di-da, and where can we actually integrate them back into? We need to start encouraging our own students back.
And do you think we ought to force their hand a wee bit? You know, in the package for students is very generous in the Isle of Man, paying the tuition fees and things like that. Do you think that we have a right as taxpayers to expect them to come back and put something back into the community? Or would that limit their horizons too much?
I don't think I would force them back, but I think we certainly need to look at job opportunities for them to come back. There are students out there who are desperate to come home, and I've spoken to many politicians and said, look, we need to start ensuring there are jobs for these these students coming back, and I was told that, well, actually, it's better for them to stay away rather than to come back.
I think,
well,
there's an amount of sense in that.
There is an amount of sense, but if your child's been away for 5 years and they're wanting to come back, yes, and they want to just, you know, establish their roots again, they've got their qualification and they actually just want to come back, enjoy their home life and actually establish what they're learning, I don't think there's anything wrong with that neither.
We talked a little bit earlier on about the fact that looking at a problem from the outside, you sometimes don't really realise how difficult it is to change it from the inside. If you're elected in September and you go in all guns blazing on the basis that a lot of people in Onchan have said to you, we're not happy about the bus service, you go to the DCCL and say, we're not happy in Onchan about the bus service, sort it. They say, well, actually, we're doing the best that we can at the moment, so forget it. Where do you go from that?
Well, I've actually got, you know, speaking to people on the doorstep, I have a few ideas of how it could simply be rectified, the bus service in Onchan. People have been very explicit on what the bus routes are and how, you know, a little bit of tweaking off the bus service could actually provide a very good bus service for the lower people of Onchan.
And it's just a tweak, you don't
it's
think it's a major overhaul?
I don't want more buses. All I want is that the buses to go round a different circuit,
yes,
to meet up with the needs of the people of Onchan.
All right. You've said that a greater emphasis should be placed on looking at unnecessary expenditure schemes.
Yeah.
Give me some examples of unnecessary expenditure.
One of my personal, and it is just a personal view, is regeneration. I think regeneration should be put on the back boiler. And I know people say we need a beautiful island and we need to make it nice. Yes, but that is a luxury. And I think, you know, we could have saved 8.5 million off our money not doing regeneration. That would cover our next 2 years VAT.
Is it a luxury or is it a... No, it's not going to cover anything like the VAT. 8 million quid's not going to make much difference. We're 140 million down already and another 75, so 8
but
million's
it would help.
Well, it would help, yeah, but
it's
isn't it a case... Isn't it a case of speculating to accumulate? Because Alan Bell's on record has said in the past that, you know, Douglas's, for example, the shop window for the Isle of Man in terms of trying to get people to invest. If people come and they see weeds growing out of gutters and things like that, surely we need to smarten the town up, don't we?
But is that not a local authority problem more than a national problem?
Well,
I think the local and the nationals working together could help resolve that.
Do you think that there could be more of that? Do you think there could be more of the commissioners and the MHKs working together?
Yeah, and I think some of the work that our authorities do could be increased to make our towns and our villages, because some of the work is done by local, some of it is done through Department of Infrastructure, and I think, you know, we need to have a clearer working together and things that we could do locally then be responsible for doing.
Where do you stand on Timor members' pay? Because that's been the subject of a lot of debate, hasn't it? MHK's pay particularly.
To be honest, I haven't even looked at the pay of an MHK. It's not even something I have addressed. I feel, you know, the pay, obviously what I read in the paper, it is a very generous salary. But I can honestly say I haven't even looked at the pay of an MHK.
Sure, but the question that follows that is, do you think that we ought to pay MHKs more to attract a better calibre of candidate? You know, professional people who in many cases would be taking a big pay cut to stand for keys. Or do you think that we ought to pay less? Because a lot of people out there think that MHKs are living the life of Riley on the gravy train.
It's interesting because I was talking to a previous MHK this week and he was telling me what he started on, and he started on a very, very small salary, which obviously, you know, was a long time ago. I feel the pay has to reflect the person who's standing, and I believe that, you know, I think it is a salary which possibly could be reduced, and I think getting all the extra bits that they get should just be knocked on the head. You know,
it should just be a basic salary.
It should be a basic salary. There should be no extras, and I just think, you know, they have to be responsible and accountable.
But the problem with that, to an extent, I suppose, is that, I mean, you said earlier on that you think that people ought to be paid what they're paid already. So if people go in and their pay is maintained from whatever level, you could go in there on 30 grand a year, for example. You could be sitting next to somebody from Onchan who's on 120 grand a year because he's had a high-powered job before he stood for politics. That wouldn't be fair, would it?
But life isn't fair, is it? Salaries aren't fair. You know, nursing salary against policeman salaries aren't fair. All my life I've gone through a career pathway which salaries haven't seemed fair. But actually, you know, it's not all about fairness, is it? If you're putting yourself forward for an MHK, then I think you have to be accountable, and I think you have to say, right, I'll do this, and, you know, my pay isn't there to reflect what I do. It's I'm there with a passion and a motivation to work.
We're almost out of time. Why should the people of Onchan vote for June Kelly in September?
I think the people of Onchan should vote for me because I'm a female and I have been in a very male-dominated environment for the past 4 years. I have a willingness to learn and I'm determined to work hard for the future of Onchan and the island. My passion for caring and achieving the best outcome for the majority of the community will always be focused, and I'm determined to try and make a difference.
June Kelly, it's been lovely talking to you today, and I'm sure we'll talk again before September. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you very much.